Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back at 7 to the hour. A little Steppenwolf bringing this back. I'm Jim Blasingame, and we're having a great visit with our good friend David Dossie. David is the partner with Gallagher & Dossie, the law firm, the intellectual property law firm that I encourage you to check out at invention-protection.com. David, thanks again for staying with us. We're talking about helping people develop an IP strategy. We talked about the whole idea of the fact that we're creating IP as small business owners. You gave us some great ideas on how to think about building an IP culture, helping people to understand that when they work for you and they create something or they're using something you create, that it belongs to the company, it belongs to the owner, and that they don't get to go wandering off with it. But you also talked about the employment agreement thing. You need to, we don't need to be naive, do we, David, about what this IP could be worth, especially if somebody leaves us and takes it to a competitor.
Right. For small businesses, hiring a new employee, even in my office, is a major investment. And the last thing you want to see is, an employee that is a major investment for you coming into your company, leaving a year later, and essentially after they've gathered up all your trade secrets and intelligence that you've built up over decades.
Mm-hmm.
So, you've really got to, if you're not hiring key employees with an employment agreement in place, you really need to ask yourself, why am I not doing this? And it's a failure on the small business owner's part.
I'm glad you mentioned that term that I think I've failed to say so far. This is really big, folks. You don't have to be an inventor to have intellectual property. You don't have to come up with a catchy phrase that you want to trademark. But you are in creating intellectual property that you are maintaining as a trade secret. Just like, imagine the Colonel's 11 herbs and spices 3 days after he came up with the 11th one, right? Do you think he thought he was onto something? Probably not. But, and as far as I know, the general public don't know what those 11 herbs and spices are, but they wound up using them as marketing because when they said 11 herbs and spices in Kentucky Fried Chicken, that was his trade secret intellectual property, wasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And just like the spreadsheet that you mentioned that you had developed when you were doing consulting work,
yep.
you weren't out there just giving that to people to play around with.
They had to work with me, and nobody else got it.
Exactly. They were clients of yours, and they were paying you.
Mm-hmm. And I converted that spreadsheet into a report that they could use. And I literally built it from whole cloth using Microsoft's Excel IP.
Back in the good old days, right?
Yeah, way back in the day, exactly. So what else do we need to know about this?
Well, I think that if you have formed your informal committee, you've thought about employment agreements, you're thinking about other contracts such as your purchase order language, or when you purchase product from a vendor, that you're not blindly just taking their purchase order language. You've got to read that stuff so that you're not indemnifying someone, or you're making sure that your suppliers are indemnifying you when it's appropriate, that you're not accepting unreasonable risk on your business. Another important aspect of just getting your feet wet in IP strategy is the documenting your security procedures. You can't just have every employee have access undivided to your entire network.
Mm-hmm.
There's got to be some areas for this confidential or trade secret information that everyone cannot access.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you don't have a private side of your network that requires, a handful of key employees to log in to access that information, then you're potentially giving away trade secrets because you have to guard them in some manner.
And typically, the person that is allowed at that exclusive level is a higher paid person, someone you're compensating more partially for their confidentiality.
And someone that probably has an employment agreement in place.
They should have. If they don't have, they should have.
Right. That explicitly spells out, you know, if you leave, you cannot, well, you can't compete within a certain radius or a certain time. Mm-hmm. You can't take any documents with you and everything else that is part and parcel of a employment agreement.
David Dossi, ladies and gentlemen, I told you we'd get smarter when David joined us. With the law firm, the IP law firm of Gallagher and Dossi, invention-protection.com. David, thanks again. Good job today. Come back soon.
Oh, I'd be happy to.
We enjoyed it. See you next time. David Dossi, ladies and gentlemen. Think about your IP, ladies and gentlemen. Develop a strategy. Do it. Start it today. I'm Jim Blasingame. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.